This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Stitch for Hospitals. Today this is a special programme marking Good Friday, the day when all Christians throughout the world join together to reflect upon the crucifixion of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus of Nazareth. I'll be reading to you from Psalm 22, which when put alongside events which happened on the day Jesus died, comes to us like some trailer for an important movie, a preview showing all the highlights. And it's often the case in today's cinema that once you've seen the trailer, you know everything about the film before you've even seen it. This is the case with Psalm 22, which incidentally was written 1,000 years before Jesus died, written by his own ancestor, King David. The opening words, therefore, of our first hymn written by Graeme Kendrick are most appropriate. They invite us to come and see for ourselves.
Come and see, come and see, come and see the King of Love. See the purple robe and crown of thorns he wears. Soldiers mock, rulers sneer, as he lifts the cruel cross. Lone and friendless now he climbs towards the hill. And we worship at your feet, where wrath and mercy meet. And the guilty world is washed by love's pure stream. He was made sin. Oh, help me take it in. Deep wounds of love cry out, Father, forgive. I worship, I worship the sin that pierced him there, so much deeper than the wounds of thorn and nail. All our pride, all our grief, all our fallenness and shame, and the Lord has laid the punishment on him. And we worship at your feet, where wrath and mercy meet.
My God, why have you forsaken me? These are some of the words that Jesus spoke before he died. In his agony on the cross, Jesus was quoting from Psalm 22, the very first verse. For the first time ever in Jesus' close relationship with his Heavenly Father, he lost communication with him and was bereft. His communication went dead, so to speak, and he was totally alone. I remember an evangelist and priest from York called David Watson speaking on this very sentence, using an illustration, using a Bible. He raised both his hands palm upwards and he placed a Bible upon one hand to represent the world weighted down with sin, the book representing the sin which separates us from God's presence. And his other hand, the empty hand, represented Jesus, the one who was absolutely without sin. The Bible then he placed upon his empty hand, the hand which represented Jesus on the cross. There now, he said, raising his first hand to heaven, our sins have been taken away and placed upon Jesus. Now we are able to see God and we can enjoy a relationship with him. But look at the other hand. Jesus is now weighted down with sin and can no longer see God because of the sins that are now placed upon him. This, he explained, was the reason why Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He has lost not his faith, but he has lost fellowship with his heavenly Father. Such love, to take our place for the death we deserve. He offered himself as a sacrifice in our place, taking upon himself the punishment we deserve for the full weight of our sins. And here is Graeme Kendrick again with My Lord, What Love Is This?
My Lord, what love is this that pays so dearly that I, the guilty one, may go
Psalm 22 is the most shocking of all the Psalms. St. Peter, in his first letter to the churches, claimed that it was the Spirit of God himself who guided the writer of the Psalm, pointing to and predicting the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. Psalm 22 is not like other Psalms. Many were the prayers and thoughts of King David. But this Psalm deals with the terror and the torture of someone dying an agonizing death and being torn apart. It's not about King David at all. The Psalm asks why God allows such suffering and pain, a question often asked by those who are ill. Why me, Lord? What have I done? It says in verses 1 and 2, why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. And yet, still there is belief here. The person who speaks and suffers has not given up their faith, and he exhorts others to believe also. Verse 6 goes on to describe this dying man's despair. He is mocked, insulted and abused, humiliated and despised by all those standing round watching him die. The psalm goes on to say, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. These last two lines, verse 8, are exactly what Jesus heard his accusers yell at him when he was on the cross. St. Matthew tells us they yelled, he saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him.
Why was my Lord done?
choir there was singing verses 4 and 5 of my song, Is Love Unknown? In Psalm 22, verse 12, the one who suffers goes on to describe his condition. It feels as though he is surrounded by raging bulls. Roaring lions open their mouths ready to tear at his flesh. Jesus had been lashed 39 times by the Roman soldiers using whips, which would have had bone or metal attached to the ends of the leather strips. His back and his legs would have been torn to ribbons. Muscle and bone were often exposed. The writer goes on to describe crucifixion in perfect detail. Reading from verse 14 of Psalm 22, it has this to say, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. Let's listen to Keith Green singing, There is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. And leaving your spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that home. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. There is a Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done, and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Crucifixion was one of the most vile deaths ever invented. When the Romans crucified their victim, a person's body was stretched out fully and nails were driven through their hands and feet. Vital organs were left intact so as not to allow the victim to die too quickly. Death by asphyxiation took place if a person could no longer push himself up by his nail-pierced feet into a position where he could breathe. Bones would have slowly dislocated with the weight of the body. The whole process would have been agony. Our word for unbearable pain, excruciating, comes from the Latin word cruciatus, cross. Jesus had already lost so much blood as a result of his flogging and was probably suffering from hypovolemic shock as a result. He had fallen 3 times in a faint on his way to the cross, so no wonder his body felt like melting wax. But we also have here in verse 16 of this psalm, hands and feet being pierced. Now death by crucifixion was unknown then as a punishment when this was written. Verse 17 tells us that he, the victim, looking down at his body, sees all his bones standing out. It's also interesting to note how in Matthew's Gospel that the Roman soldiers actually gambled over the garments they'd stripped off Jesus. His clothing was divided up, and they cast lots for his robe, which had no seam to tear, being woven in one piece. Words which are mentioned here again in verse 18 of Psalm 22. This was no self-fulfilling prophecy. Deliver me, save me from all this agony, rescue me, he cries in verses 19 to 21. Let's hear Northumbria Community singing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my righteous gain I count but loss and poor contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the cross of Christ.
Moment on, from verse 22 in the psalm, it completely changes tone and ends on a note of joy and triumph. It seems that God has answered the sufferer's prayer. It's like a light has been switched on, and the victim suddenly sees clearly what is happening and what is to come. He knows he will once again speak to his brothers and sisters. He will enlighten them. And people will turn back to God and bow down before him. Entire nations will flock to worship God as one. Future generations will be told about the greatness of God. He ends on a glorious note, a hallelujah moment, as if to say, it wasn't all wasted then. He says, it is accomplished. Job done. It's finished. These are the words that Jesus spoke just before he died. And when he was raised from death, he did once again speak with his brothers and sisters, teaching them all that the prophets had said about him. For now the deep darkness had passed, his torment was over, the price had been paid for our sins, death was no longer our curse, for Jesus came to bring us life. Humankind could once more be at one with God through repentance and belief. Here's a new song for you, sung by Jonathan and Melissa Helser. It's called I'm Gonna Raise a Hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah.
know there are still those today who believe that Jesus did not die on the cross, but was revived later in the cool of the tomb. But you know, Roman soldiers were experts in performing executions. They themselves confirmed his death. One soldier pushed a spear up into Jesus' right side, up into one of his lungs, and by the sound of it, into the heart, causing both blood and water to flow. They were convinced then that he was dead. A man called Lee Strobel, a researcher into the facts of Easter, questioning it, puts it this way. The spear apparently went through the right lung and into the heart, so that when the spear was pulled out, some fluid, the pericardial effusion, and the pleural effusion came out. This would have the appearance of a clear fluid like water, followed by a large volume of blood, just as the eyewitness John describes in his gospel. After all Jesus suffered, following the 39 lashes, his blood loss, his trauma on the cross, his dislocation of bones, his agony, even taking into consideration he had no medical assistance in the cold stone tomb, how could he possibly have convinced his disciples he was gloriously alive when he appeared to them on the third day? May I invite you this day to reflect upon Psalm 22 for yourselves, and perhaps also the prophecies mentioned in Isaiah 53, which also speak of this suffering servant who was to come, being led like a lamb to the slaughter. Please join us this coming Sunday for a programme on Jesus' resurrection, which celebrates the fact that Jesus did not stay dead. All that remains for us now is to say our goodbyes. This is Sheila Hamill and my technician, Andrew Ridgwick.
Bye, everyone.
Saying goodbye. Here's our final song. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Bye for now.
It was noon when darkness came upon the land, and everything was gloomy until three. Sunlight failed, the veil was torn in two, and all around was eerie, and our hearts they failed us too, as a voice came drifting softly, moaning like the wind. He said, and then we heard him breathe his last. We heard a soldier say this was God's son. We hung our heads and wept aloud with shame. So sorry for the slaughter.